Hello out there. We're on the air. It is Rodcast night tonight, or something like that. Rod Black with you, where once again, we have another episode with some of the biggest names, the brightest names in the world of sports and arts and entertainment, what have you. Can't think of a better way to ring in the new year, to say happy 2023 than with two of my great friends and two of the greatest athletes I have ever covered. Tessa Virtue, Scott Moyer, Olympic champions, world champions, people champions. Let's roll the Rodcast.
The Rodcast with Rod Black, brought to you by North Star Bets. That's a win. Now here's your host, Rod Black.
Look at who's here. My favorite peeps, without a doubt. My favorite athletes that I've ever covered. They know it. You know it at home. Here's the thing. This is the first time I've ever, it's not even an interview. We're just going to talk. I've ever chatted with these two and they're not together. You're serious. Like, usually you are together like that and you are on the screen, but now you're apart, but you're kind of always together, etched in everybody's minds. Hello, you guys, and happy new year.
Hi, Rod. Thank you so much. And I mean, I love and adore you. You're our favorite. And I mean, I don't want to derail us right off the get-go, but the number of times, and Scott, you'll know this immediately, the number of times my brothers say, money in the bank with a little pink boy. Or have your little Rod-isms.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of them.
Embedded into our family, just like regular speak. You've just been such a part of our lives.
I emceed an entire wedding trying to do a Rod Black essay, and it went off great.
Oh, you poor soul. The thing is here, and you mentioned the Rod-isms or whatever, it's been a long time. Like, I've covered you guys for a lifetime. Like, I think you were 6 and 8 or 7 or 9 and something like that. And I remember seeing it, and I went, oh my gosh. And Tess, you're absolutely one of the most beautiful people in the world. But it was Scotty. I go, this guy's the cutest little guy. He's so cute on the ice. He's so cute. I thought, listen, look at them. They're dancing and they look at what they do. And look what you became. And isn't it crazy how life flies? Oh, and stuff happens and you win Olympic gold medals and world championships. It's insane.
Yeah. It feels fast. Now, when I look back and now, like I said, I don't know if you know, but I'm at a national championships right now. And, it kind of feels weird, Rod, to have a national champ. This is kind of the first real national championship since obviously the pandemic, and not to have you covering it is, and what you've done for our sport. I mean, it doesn't quite feel the same, but even to be at one of these without Tessa, it's gone by super fast our whole career. And we used to be like, the team that always talked about 22 years or whatever. And we've been in this thing so long. It seemed like we were the young ones. And then all of a sudden we were too old. But when we look back at our career, as long as it was, it really did just fly by.
Yeah, Tess, you know,
used to that split screen stuff.
Yeah, no, look at that. I feel like there's Scotty's always supposed, maybe you can just move back a little bit. You always kind of look like you're just behind Tessa that normally when we interview.
Oh, yeah,
like,
sorry.
And then, yeah, like, it is different. And I want to get into skating because we can talk about a lot of stuff. I want to talk about skating and where it is now and what it has become. But what you guys did to the sport was absolutely incredible. And then, you know, people before you as well. And let's start at the beginning, Tess, and feel free to just jump in whenever. But when I did see you, and when it was Scotty's aunt, right? Scott, your aunt that got you guys, maybe you could tell the story, Tess, of how you guys actually, this great love affair between the two of you for skating that began at such a tender age.
Yeah, it's funny. And Scott, you just said 22 years, and I suppose that's the way I think of it. But at the same time, I also think, oh, it's been 26 years, because just like I feel we'll always be partners and time goes on. But so does that partnership. It just evolves and it looks different. So
I figured if like we just froze at 2018, we wouldn't have to get older as well. You have done that gracefully, but I'm hanging on.
At Yeah. I remember meeting Scott when I was 6 and he would have been 8. And I was part of the Ilderton Skating Club. Scott's aunt Carol was teaching me. And Scott, maybe you have a better sense of this. I don't know exactly sort of the nuances of the story of how we got to be paired up. But part of it was my sister and Scott's cousin thinking that it would be comical / maybe cute if we dated. Yeah. And I just happened to probably be the right size for you at the time because you had a previous partner. And but I do remember starting to skate with you, and I mean, I don't want to romanticize it too much, but almost instantly finding joy in it and finding this love for dancing and sort of working together. And
it was kind of cute too, though. He was kind of cute.
Oh yeah.
Maybe
we
had, right, a little, you know, we had an energy crushes. Right, right.
I mean, we didn't think we were going to win the Olympics by any means, and nobody watching at that stage thought we were going to win the Olympics, but we always had an energy and that pure joy. That's actually, I don't know if I've ever really reflected on that, but I think from my side, like, I think my aunt was a bit smart, a little bit more conniving, maybe smarter. She dealt with 3 boys in the sport.
She was a good agent.
Yeah. She's a great agent, but she had to coach, like, my mom's a twin. So my aunt is her twin sister, and they switched kids. So my aunt got the way worse end of the deal, having to coach us 3 boys. And I think she saw, something between Tessa and I. She kind of waltzed in, had just started to skate. You know, she started young, but for me, I'd spent my life already into that point, like sleeping on the hockey rink or on the nets while my mom was coaching. And here,
did you want to be a hockey player, Scotty?
Yeah, that was the goal for me. I always wanted to. That's how I got started in figure skating. Is I kind of got tricked into it, and but then everything really changed when Tess came, and there was an energy there because when she walked into the rink and she had kind of just started, and she had all this athletic ability. She was a gymnast, a great dancer, and you know, putting on skates. I mean, she wouldn't say that, but it just worked for her. So here's this girl that's 2 years younger than me, can skate just as fast as me, which was kind of my thing at that age, at 9 years old, and jump higher than me. And I think my aunt was finally like, oh my God, maybe someone can help me keep this kid in line from throwing snowballs. And I was just such a jackass at that age. Everybody comes to me like, what can I do to get my kid more interested in can skate? It's like, well, you should first of all know that I hated it. Like, I did not want to go figure skating ever. All I wanted to do was play hockey until Tess. And then so much of the love for the sport and for ice dance came with our energy that we had together.
Do you feel that way? When did that start? You said right away, Tess, but when did the two of you start to realize that you had something really kind of cool? I mean, again, when you get into dance or pairs or as a team, most teams don't stay together for very long, you know, but you stayed together and you went through so much together. And I don't want to fast forward to all the gold medals in that, but you know, input equals output. I mean, one of the things that people don't see is how much work the two of you had to put in. Take us through what those early years were like, the hours you had to spend, the money that was spent, not only from your families, your friends, your community. It did take a couple of communities to build champions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, I'm not sure that I can delineate my feelings for skating, the love I have for the sport, as a separate entity to what I experienced in the partnership with Scott. Like, that they were so intertwined and connected. I wouldn't have skated if not for Scott. I wouldn't have pursued that. I would not have found such passion. And part of that, I think, was realizing early on that we had a shared vision, we had a common goal, and that we needed each other to be our best in order to achieve anything. And I don't know, Scott, if you remember this differently, but very early on, we realized that it was up to us to build one another up. We needed to bolster that sense of support and really cultivate this unconditional place, that a place of safety, place of trust, of loyalty, and everything just built on top of that. And I think the longevity, or speaking of Rod, oh my gosh, it was so much work and it was such an investment. And we intentionally prioritized that every single day. But that was also the most rewarding and the most fulfilling, because that was the root of all gratification in sport, at least from my experience.
Yeah, it's not easy, Scotty. I mean, one of the things too is that, you know, you got to get up early, you got to do this. I mean, I know you went to hockey practices too, and they're hard. And you got to put that stinky wet hockey equipment on. But at the same time, the hours that are spent, the hours away from school that are spent, the tutoring that has to go on, you go around the world as well. I mean, all of those things. I mean, yeah, there's a love, a palpable love that you have, that joy. But there had to be days when you went, oh my God, I got to get up and I got to go to the rink and I got to skate. Really? Yeah. Or did that happen?
When I look back now, a lot less than you would think. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
well, that's why you became champions.
Yeah, I do remember the Friday nights, for example. We used to skate Friday nights, Saturday mornings. And, wow, you know, you'd be at school on Friday, be talking with your friends and make all these plans for the weekend and then get home and remember, oh, like, crap, I actually skate all weekend long and come home at about 3 o'clock on Saturday. So that's, none of those plans are going to work. So you, pretty naturally, you kind of feel like you're missing out. And until I really, until we retired after 2014, did I realize that, you know, that wasn't the case at all. And even at that age, we also got to travel to Europe, to Asia, to all across Canada. So we had really this very cool experience, this cool upbringing. And for Tess and I, what really bonded us was this relationship that we were building. But we were addicted, and like, we wanted to win. And we didn't even take a breath. So for so many of those early years, like through juvenile, pre-novice, novice, junior, like, we didn't win novice. And man, that pissed us off, I think, until 2010. So like, we were so fired up. And I don't know, I think we come from competitive athletic families, so part of that is just our nature. But when I look back at those two kids, I'm pretty amazed now to be like, wow. And almost, and my buddies would probably tell you that very close to me having something wrong with me, like, it was a little obsessive. But
my sense too is that in your coaching, you've reflected on us being students, especially so young, in a different way, or maybe you see it through a different lens.
Yeah, I think so. And it's funny because today, I stand at the boards teaching against one of our first coaches.
Yeah, you're coaching now.
I know, it's crazy. I love
it. You're not old enough to coach.
I know. Thank you for that.
There you go.
But it is pretty. Yeah, I don't know.
Don't wear a fur coat ever. Please just don't wear a fur coat. I don't want to see it.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
I think it is pretty wild to look back at us, and our coaches also knew exactly how to motivate us, they didn't treat us, you know, when we were 14 and 16 trying to win the junior title, and which is the same ages as it is in hockey, you know, like, that's, I mean, kind of making Connor Bedard look like he's kind of behind the pace, no big deal. But at the same time, for our coaches, they didn't treat us like that. We gave them everything we had, and they did too. And, you know, that kind of started to snowball into our career and having to leave Canada and go to Detroit to work with some Russians. And oof, there's a lot of years to unpack in there. How much time do we have,
Ron? No, you think about how life has changed. Like, oh, think about how life has changed. I remember visiting you guys down in Detroit. And again, I, you know, you think about the impact that Russia has had on this sport.
Yeah.
Next to Canada, probably, you know, one of the superpowers in the sport through the years. And then you think about politics and everything else that goes on, and think about politics in this sport. I mean, we could go on forever about judging and whatever.
Yeah.
But to know what's happened in the world as well with Russia now, and how, you know, that wasn't like that back then. And you probably have to tell some of the kids, well, look at these Russians or what. Mm-hmm. Hey, politics is politics. I mean, they're still, you know, amongst your greatest friends, and how the Ukrainian people, the Ukrainian skaters used to skate with Russian skaters and vice versa. I mean, did you ever test think about, I mean, beyond the judging aspect of this, how this sport was one of the first sports that ever broke down borders, where Canadians could go skate in the United States, where Russians could skate in the States, where people could come from all over and skate and go and get trained by the best. There wasn't really a border. We played it on TV. Oh, here's Canada against the United States, the showdown, the battle. It wasn't like that. It wasn't really off the ice like that. I mean, you competed. I know you were fiery and you wanted to win, but you competed against your competitors. You didn't compete against a country, I don't think.
Right. It's an interesting way of thinking of it. And you're right. It's unique to skating because for our entire career, we trained alongside our greatest rivals, as you know, Rod, and we shared a coaching staff. And when I tell people now, even, you know, who aren't so familiar with the intricacies of figure skating, that seems ludicrous. But you're right that in some way, while that may seem divisive, it was quite unifying. And I think what maybe struck us more was the Olympic experience. And, you know, I think that's changing now, unfortunately, but there really was the sense that the world was, you know, put on pause and everyone could come together for some greater cause, some greater good. You could rally a nation, you could stand united. It felt so powerful, and that was through sport. And so I think we certainly felt that being part of Team Canada.
So let's go to 2010, Scotty. It's still one of the greatest thrills was calling that for you guys to win that Olympic gold medal, watching you there. And honestly, being I never really get too emotional during any events, but to know where you had come from and to know that was the ultimate dream to win that Olympic gold medal and the way you did it, and in Vancouver. I mean, are there days still that when you're at sleep at night, do you still conjure up some of those images from it seems like yesterday, but goodness, it's 13 years ago.
Yeah, that's wild. And that's what I feel as a coach now. Like, you look, the kids are like, yeah, oh my gosh, I remember 2010. Like, that was my first year in school. Or
some weren't born.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of them.
Hey, kid, Google us.
A lot of them, when I talked about our first
here's YouTube.
Olympic experience in Torino, like, because we were first alternates, and we really thought we should have been on that team. And, you know, that really motivated us to never put ourselves in that position again. We didn't want to be on the outside looking in ever again. We wanted to be the number one team. And so when I tell that story, they're always like, oh yeah, that's the year I was born. It's like, oh boy. But to think that 2010 was that long ago is pretty crazy. And I think we were pretty fortunate at that time. We were training in America. You know, like the old CTV, TSN did some fantastic things for the Olympics, but we hadn't won a world title. Nobody had ever won an Olympic Games before winning a world title in ice dance. Definitely nobody would ever thought that a 20 and 22 year old would be able to do that. So we weren't really on the radar until about, you know, December of 2009. And I remember CTV called and said, like, oh, we just realized you guys are a real medal threat. We better do a special on you. So we had to kind of throw one together. But I think at that stage of our career, you know, T and I had just gone through quite a hard part of our partnership. Tessa just coming back from an injury. We had a lot of growing up that happened in that time and didn't gel together. And so the kind of the 12 months before the Olympics, there was a lot of chaos, but I don't think we understood the hype of a home games. I don't think we, training in America, we didn't see a lot of the media. We had mentors like Dave Peltier and Marnie McBean who gave us enough so that we would understand what the Olympic Games would be like. They prepared us amazingly. So we felt like when we stepped on the ice, we could take advantage of the opportunity. But I think they also sheltered us in a way and allowed us to just really focus on our craft. And that's where we started to really feel and take advantage of our Canadian Olympic team was with some of those alumni athletes to be able to give us some of those pointers. But I think if we'd walked into 2010 like we walked into 2018 with all the hype and excitement, understanding what the Olympic game means to Canadians, I don't know if we come out with that. I mean, I'd like to think we would, but 2010 was an incredibly personal experience. Even we always look up and see our families. But in those moments dancing together, I think that was the most intimate. Just one, like a boy doing it for a little girl, like that he grew up with. And that's really what it felt like. We hugged before and it was just like, hey, maybe we can do this thing together. And it was really for each other. And it was so beautiful and pure. And yeah, it made the 11, 12, 13, and 14 maybe a little bit harder, because I don't know if we ever really recaptured that until probably 2018. But in many ways, it was such a fairy tale. And we were able to surround ourselves with people that really helped us to get there. So I don't know if it was completely on purpose. Like 2018, it was calculated. We knew what we were doing. We left no stone unturned. And we'll get to that. But in 2010, a lot of things kind of fell in our favor in order for us to feel the way we did when we took the ice, which was so beautiful and pure.
Same for you, Tess. I guess that's a fairy tale storybook, beyond the fact that, again, you were coming back from that injury and all this stuff away from it. Plus, I know you say you were kind of off the radar and you didn't win a world title, but you know, when you compete on home ice, you know, that there's pressure there too. Yeah. What was 2010 like for you?
2010 was a chaotic, painful storm until we took the ice at the Pacific Coliseum, for me anyways, or at least that's how I remember it, which sometimes Scott tells me is through rose colored glasses. But
no, that's accurate.
I was in so much pain. I remember we were on site in Port Moody doing some training after the opening ceremonies. My legs were so bad that I couldn't get through run-throughs. I was crying, sitting on the bench, just thinking, you know, how can we possibly make it to the end of the program, let alone make it to the podium? And I certainly didn't feel like I was at my best physically. And I think, you know, when Scott so beautifully articulates that feeling of coming together, it was because that was survival mode. And we needed each other. We needed to rely on that. And this force that was between us sort of transcended our athletic pursuit in some way, because we were on the ice and totally in a flow state. We had convinced ourselves we were ready, we were prepared, we loved our material, and somehow we just rose to the challenge together. And probably with some analysis, it's because we were doing it for one another. And it's because, you know, I felt Scott deserved that moment on home Olympic ice. I probably thought of it more through his lens than mine. So yeah, it's neat. It's actually really fun to reflect on that and to hear Scott's take on it. But it was awful until it was like heaven, you know. It was so nice. And that felt like we were floating, and it felt like everything fell into place and it just felt perfect. But I know that might seem like it doesn't add up.
Well, you know,
so
when you think about it, your careers aren't supposed to add up, right? Like when you think about it, like look at it, like where you come from, and you, like you say, kind of the long shot kids early on, but you do the hard work, you have your spats, you piss each other off a little bit once in a while, you come back, you win, you have, and I like what you said, you guys said about how much you love to win. And that's one of the things people always say, what are Tess and Scott? What are they really like? And all the, beyond the obvious questions you guys have always heard through the years, are they having an affair? What are they married? Yada, yada. We'll get to that in a second. But
good, finally.
The thing that I always said is that if you look in their eyes, they're winners, and they have a fire underneath that in this pristine sport of dance and, you know, the music and the aesthetics that exist. You guys had that. You were performers, but you also treated this art like a great, great sport. I love that, Tess. I love the fact that every time I could see that in your eyes, and you got that great smile and you're looking, but underneath there was that steely determination and you went, no, not this time. We're going to do this despite everything else that went on. Where did that come from?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I don't know. I have this weird feeling, Scott, I'm curious to know if you feel this too, like if it wasn't skating, it would have been something else that I would have wanted to be the best at. So I think that was just sort of innate in me. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I think it kind of goes hand in hand. I mean, I still feel like that for you. Like, I still think there's going to be many things that I know that you're going to do even better than what, if it's hard to believe, but from what I reflect, and I'm interested, Roddy. Am I called Roddy? I usually call
you call me Roddy.
I don't know what people call you.
You can call me Roddy. You can call me whatever you want.
Okay. So Roddy. Anyways, Roddy. I'm interested to hear because, yeah, like you've done so many things in your career. And the more Tess and I do events like this or sit down and actually talk with someone that we love and trust, I think we learn about how what we went through together. And, you know, like 2010, we were.
Because it just happens, I think. Right, Scott? I think. Life just, like, you're saying the same thing. I'm only a sports announcer, and I do sports, and I love all the games. And people ask me all the time, well, what is your favorite? And I'm lost at words because it just flies by so fast. You don't think about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think about it.
Rod, and I'm sorry to interject, Scott, but I know that you'll totally, like, get this. When we stepped into the broadcasting realm just briefly, and we got to work alongside you for those events.
That was so cool.
Biggest takeaway for us was that you care, and the whole crew cared. And I think that was a little bit lost on us as ignorant athletes. You know, we had a bit of a disconnect. And when we got to see behind the scenes and peer behind the curtain of what it's like to work next to you in a figure skating event, oh my gosh, the depth, the level of analysis, the genuine desire for everyone.
The heavy drinking late at night.
That too. No, you just wanted to tell stories. And that was so, like, that left a real impression on both of us.
Well, thank you. But and I will tell you, it was our pleasure. What was that, Scotty?
Sorry to interrupt, Rod. Was just so huge for the sport. I mean, the years that crew were able to bring that quality broadcast for the sport of figure skating to Canadians. I mean, it was top notch. I think about you and Tracy calling. It was always such an honor, and it's so strange to look up and feel that comfort as an athlete. We always used to find you guys, always, and it would feel like nationals. So
yeah, a little wink felt like
a little wink. And again, we're all the thing about what I loved about covering skating, is that normally as a sports announcer, you know, you got to be unbiased, and we truly were. I mean, again, I secretly cheered for you guys, but every other skater you love. You know, and it's such a hard sport. You're out there for 4.5 minutes running a marathon on skates. And, you know, you're like, oh my gosh. Like, and then to just to be able to do that. And there was no real, like, people had that Harding Kerrigan thing about figure skating at the time. And that might've been one incident. And there might've been some hatred, or I don't even want to go with bitterness, that existed I found in men's skating in particular, there was some real angst. There was in pair skating, I think in dance, whatever. But the beauty is that you kind of saw that in every skater, and you saw that pure love and joy. And you guys had that. I loved seeing you on the ice. That I kind of felt embarrassed after a while, going, okay, I don't want to jinx them, you know, or if it was Tracy that was sitting there. But so it is when you guys were skating, you grew up in it. Skating was this rock star sport on television. It was unbelievable. They had ratings that were through the roof, better than hockey on Saturday nights. I still, by the way, believe that could happen again. I firmly do. And I don't know where the disconnect is. But, you know, you guys skated in that just before that, or just after the Elvis, Kurt, Shailen Bourne, Victor Kratz, who I'm sure were huge heroes to you and predecessors to you. Well, skating doesn't have that kind of buzz that it had back then. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it just doesn't seem to have. And maybe it's because there's a proliferation of so much, yet it's still one of the greatest sports around. And it still has this unbelievable athleticism to it. People always say, oh, who are the greatest athletes? I'll say skaters. Skaters are the greatest athletes I've ever been around. It's not even close because of what you have to do. But why is that? Why? What do you have to do to get that buzz back, do you think? Tess, you can go, and then Scotty, jump in.
Oh, well, Scott, actually, I mean, I'm going to pass the buck because I feel you have much more kind of weighty analysis here.
We do talk about it often. I mean, I don't have the answer. I think, Rod, you would probably have more insight. But for me, I think there are problems that exist in the sport that people are tired of. I think that yeah, it's the fool me once type of a thing. Like after the fourth and fifth judging scandal, people are just wondering why they want to watch a sport that they're not sure the outcome isn't totally fixed. And I think that's still one of the biggest problems. And we hide behind that it's a judge sport and that, you know, it could be, that's always going to be like that. But there are judge sports that are done better, I believe. So I think that does have something to do with it. The politics that surround stuff like that and seeing the same nations come forward over and over. Yeah, it's disappointing. But I think that there's a better way. And if we're ever going to get back to that, we need to change that. So that's going to be, that's kind of why I'm still involved in the sport. This fuels me. I agree like you did. Rod, hearing you talk about your passion for the sport, I remember in one of those late nights having some drinks with you talking about what you really thought the sport meant to Canadians. And to hear someone like you talk about it like that made me believe in what I felt. And I think had an effect on trying to make the sport a little bit better and bring Canada kind of back to where I think we should be. I mean, we should be an elite skating country. I mean, looking back at all these fantastic skaters that we've had, choreographers, coaches, and it would be nice to get that country back and to be able to have skating just kind of take a step up. So that's my opinion very quickly on how to change the world of skating. But I do think that it's just spreading around too. There's a lot of really fantastic, interesting sports. And skating was huge through the Tanya and Nancy scandal. And the world has changed a little bit as well. I think there has something to do with it.
Yeah. Tess, it costs a lot of money, too, from a federation point of view. You guys, I don't have to tell you how much it takes to build a champion. You guys skated in, I call the golden era of skating when everybody was winning. And
are we an accessible sport? I mean,
yeah.
Generally, I would look at people who skate and say, probably not. And that's probably something that needs to change. Like, not every Canadian has access to the sport of figure skating. And then do they have access at a high level? It's tough.
And yet it's the most pure form in Canadian sport tests. Like, think about it. You know, beyond soccer and basketball, which is very easy. I mean, almost every kid in Canada has... maybe climate change might change a little bit, but been able to get out on an ice rink. That's how we all started, a love of getting out on an ice rink and feeling like you could fly on a sheet of ice.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Scott and I have always been big proponents of getting kids to talk about, you know, the access point through which people can experience sport, whether it's skating or something else. We really wanted kids to have exposure to so many different activities because we so believe in the power of sport. We believe in the life lessons, in the teamwork, the goal setting, the failures. I mean, that list is endless of what we think the benefits can be. And so, yes, it's a mandate for both of us, I think, to try and keep kids in sport, to get more kids in sport, and skating of course is close to our hearts. And you're right, I think access is something, and when you get to those higher levels, how do we make it more manageable for the families? Because it is such an extraordinary sacrifice. And the, you know, in skating, we always thought we were so lucky because at the top and you can do shows and earn a bit of a living, but even that is sort of a dying market because the landscape is just saturated with so many options of, you know, where people can spend their money on tickets. And so I think maybe there needs to be some fresh creativity to breathe new life into what this sport can be, both competitively and professionally. But I look forward to watching Scott pave the way.
Yeah, I was going to say Tessa Virtue choreography could really be what takes us to the promised land. I mean, I was lucky enough to watch her work for 22 years included our pro career, right, kiddo? Or was that just our amateur? What's 97 to 2018? What's the math on that? That's 22, right?
Yeah, so I think we had then the extra couple.
Whoa, right? So I've been telling people we skated together for 22 years, and that's not even true?
We did 20 years of...
Okay.
She blanked you out for 2 years, Scott.
You were there. Plenty of reason to do that.
So maybe what goes on the broadcast stays on the broadcast. Whatever. Like, again, your team, your partnership, it's so unique. I mean, you had some scraps, some verbal wars. Is there any that are memorable? You clearly got through it all, you know. I mean, again, this is the first interview that you've been apart, mind you, but it's okay. I mean, there had to be. And who was the one that started, and who was the one that said, "Okay, I'm sorry," or whatever? I mean, it's inevitable, right?
Well, yeah.
Go
ahead.
Well, now they're fighting.
No, you go ahead. I've been talking a lot, man.
No, just to Rod's last comment, I was going to say we did practice starting the difficult conversations. And where I think we landed was that the ice was at this safe place. It was sacred. And we got on the ice and we knew we had a job to do. And we didn't miss a moment of being effective and efficient in training. Because we had watched as teams sort of crumbled around us by blaming one another, by, you know, fighting and bickering and trying to coach each other. And we really vowed early on not to go down that path, especially on the ice. So most of our arguments happened off the ice, but we did also practice starting the difficult conversations, which lead to like an evolution of communication, in that then it opens the door for apologies and understanding and empathy. And I won't say it was perfect by any means, but we really did come to a place where we had some methods that worked for us, some tactical tools that we could implement when we were not thriving together.
And I think as well, to kind of add on to that, is now, you know, that Tessa has Mo and I have Jackie and we have our separate lives. I'm much more comfortable saying things about the real love that Tessa and I had for each other, because I don't think people would understand. You know, every time we'd say that before, they'd kind of cheapen it to whatever they thought was their rom-com-y movie. But because we had this real love for each other and we were we really cared about each other and what each other thought. So it was hard. Like, we did have some periods where we weren't getting along off the ice and we're able to keep it professional. But we both understood that wasn't what made us really click. That wasn't where our magic was. Like, we needed to really be there for each other. So in some ways too, it also went hand in hand. Like, there was a lot of real care there. And we needed to know that we had each other's backs in order to really fully trust each other. And we had two major instances where, there was some real difficult stuff off the ice, and we had to start from almost nothing again. They were really, really tough, but thank God we went through them, because then it came our most beautiful parts of our partnership, and then we were able to build trust and, kind of go through those hard times together and come out better for it. But at those times, I mean, there was, I think people would be surprised to know that we were close to not making it through. And one in 2009, shortly after the World Championships, and we're like 11 months out of the Olympic Games, where we're kind of living our fairy tale. So we always like to tell this part of the story, not to be over dramatic, but just so people can understand that relationships, like your work relationships, or when you're building something together you really care about, it just takes work. Like, we sat and worked, we gritted it out, and it was really, really tough times, and it was super emotional, but thank God we did it.
Yeah, you said the magic though, and that's what you guys have. I mean, I could probably go an hour with all of the things that you've accomplished. I mean, all the titles you've had. I mean, you're the goats. Like, you're the goats of ice. I remember when you were a kid and you were a goat, and the goat was actually not good. And now being a goat is really good. But no, like, if you look at it, and I know you're so humble, and
you've done it all.
Like, all those things you've done. Like, what is the one that you're most proud of? You just got the Order of Canada. You're in every Hall of Fame imaginable. You've done so much. What is the thing that you're most proud of? Tess, you can go first.
I mean, Scott's going to have an answer after this, and I'm going to change my mind, I'm sure.
I'm so happy you're going first.
The thing that comes to mind first is carrying the flags at the opening ceremony, carrying the flag at the opening ceremony in 2018. That was such a moment. And it was a moment, I remember when we found out that, you know, we were asked to do that. And I remember just standing in front of that team of our heroes and idols and just thinking, like, why us? Why do we have this honor and responsibility? But just feeling like it so encapsulated all of the things that we felt it meant to be Canadian, and we wanted to embody those things, and we wanted to be those people that deserved it. And I mean, I think that was a real Olympic moment for me.
Yeah, I'll never forget walking in and looking back and seeing MP and even seeing Chitty and seeing Mick Kingsbury, and that was a really tight team. And because I don't know if it was just timing, but seemed like everybody but three Olympians were at all the games with us, and you know, 10 and 14 and 18 together. And I don't know, to have the respect of that group that we always just felt so honored to be a part of, that I'll never forget. But for me, it's gotta be 18. The being able to win the ice dance event. The team event was super cool. I felt like we played a major role in rallying what was already an extremely talented team, but most people in the figure skating world thought we were over the hill, except for us. And we kind of believed in each other. And I thought that was super, super cool, because you don't actually compete together, but there was some, I keep using the word magic. It's like I'm a wizard or something, but we lifted each other up somehow by believing in each other and doing it for each other, and kind of the power of the team and doing it for someone else instead of yourself. But what we were able to accomplish in terms of kind of going back to our reinventing our skating, trying to be gutsy with our material, and then to be able to compete against Gabby and Guillaume, and who are one of the best technical ice dancers to ever step on the ice, to be able to compete against them and win an Olympic Games was pretty huge for us. And it was all the training that went in, and we talked about Tessa and when she stepped in the venue for 2010, and she was superhuman. Like, she just said, this is our venue. And I heard her say it, but I really felt like she was saying, this is my venue. And she was like, you just come along with me or else, kind of thing. But in 2018, or 2017 and 2018, really, it was every day like that. You know, she was scary in the gym, on the ice, Pilates, dancing, nutrition. She was a terrifying athlete, which was unbelievable to see. So most of the time when I think about what we've accomplished, it very quickly goes to 2018, because we gave everything we had, and we were able to come out on top.
You know, look at all the stuff that's come with it, though. And like, first, what do you guys do with all your medals? I mean, really? Like, yeah, Scotty, when you're back home, do you wear it down to the bar, or Tess, do you?
Yeah.
I mean, do you have a competition with Morgan saying, hey, look at, I got these. What do you got?
It would be nice to see Mo get one of those.
Yeah. I think he'd like something a little more gray and silver.
Yeah.
You guys, I know you guys, you didn't like winning silver. Your future husband wants something silver, if you know what I mean.
You know what? I think everybody in Toronto is so good for so many jokes. And yeah, we were so proud of our silvers, so I always like to say that, because we felt like we kind of did that all on our own. that year leading in was pretty outrageous. However, it's such a great beer league hockey joke. Like, everywhere I am with my buddies, they're always just like, ugh, But you wouldn't want to get two silvers, or someone would be like, hey, what do you do with your Olympic medals? And then one of them would be like, oh, yeah, well, I have the silvers. He didn't even know where those are anymore, or make some joke like I don't care. Or they just make fun of me for being second, which I thought was pretty offside considering we have five Olympic medals and only two gold.
Yeah, the old joke as well. Hey, the guy sitting beside you, I have five Olympic, between the two of us, we have five Olympic medals. I mean, that's the way it
is. Yeah, that's a good one.
So Tess, there had to be some great stories about some of your medals. Like, are there greats like showing to kids some inspiration, maybe something funny, maybe you've lost it or a medal or whatever. What are your best medal stories? Tess, you can start.
We were always really free and open about wanting as many people as possible to touch all of our medals. And I remember there are a lot of stories, I will say that, but being at Hockey House in 2010 after we won, and we kept chucking our medals into the crowd of people, and, you know, slowly it would make its way back to us, and we were celebrating, obviously, and it wasn't until the end of the night that I realized we had bodyguards, and I think the bodyguards were really just for the medals.
Yeah.
And then I proceeded to check my medal in my luggage when we flew home from Vancouver. So I remember telling someone on the flight, like, was that a bad thing? Do we know my luggage is on here?
Have you seen what's happened to luggage lately? Just saying.
That, I know. Hey, and I do remember, I don't want to throw you under the bus, Scott, but I do remember we could, because we've switched medals so many times. Who knows?
Yeah.
But there was a time that we could distinguish between mine and Scott's because his, the ribbon on his just reeked of beer.
Yeah, it did smell a lot like beer. That's going to shock a lot of people.
So, how did you like beer?
How dare you? No, the best was, that was as close to being rock stars as we ever got, I think. Well, for me, anyways, like when we flew home and we had just gotten that, we just had a Roots deal. So we, I think, flew home with like what?
14.
23 bags. Air Canada checked 23 bags for us. Like, they just kept coming out. I was like, oh, this is getting a little bit embarrassing. And then Tessa's medal is in one of those random sweaters. Yeah, we were living large in 20 and 22.
Oh, that's hilarious. That is hilarious. And then life takes over again. So it's so funny. When I was covering you guys, you did retire. You retired and then you unretired. And thankfully you did. We knew you were coming back. That was not a secret, by the way.
We didn't know.
Oh, I think you did. But here's the thing now. Life is it takes over. And all the stuff, there's other stuff in life. I mean, skating consumed you. You were rock stars. You still are rock stars. But Scotty, your daddy, you're married into daddy. Tess, gonna be a mommy someday. You're getting married.
Zoe,
you're getting married. Oh yeah, you gotta forget. Where's Zoe, the dog? Zoe. By the way, one of my favorite guys in the world, Morgan Riley, who everybody loves, and would love to see him win a Stanley Cup.
Oh yeah, cool, baby.
But tell me about life now. First of all, do you miss skating, and how much do you still see each other?
Not enough.
Yeah, definitely not enough. We still try and keep in touch as much as we can, but it's not enough. And I feel like then we revert back to reminiscing, and you just so quickly get back into that. Like, we have this shared language. And I recently, well, when we did the Order of Canada ceremony the night before, we got together and Scott's family was there, and I had to apologize to everyone because I said, I'm so sorry. We must be really annoying when we finally get reunited. I don't necessarily miss getting on the ice every day, but I do miss dancing. I miss the choreography, and I miss expressing myself through movement, and I miss doing that with Scott. I miss that partnership and that sense of purpose that we had every day. I certainly miss that. And the big stage too sometimes, although I don't miss having to do all the work that it took to get there.
That's so weird, because we just so happen to have an opening at the Academy where you can come in and dance and perform and choreograph and get all of those, check all those boxes. I am on the ice every day. So I do move around a lot and get to do all my crazy wild antics, which I think in some way is really great. But, you know, I kind of do feel like I still think I'm 20 years old on the ice with T. So, and every once in a while, I'll like grab one of my students and talk gibberish to them and start skating and then be shocked that they don't know exactly. Like T and I used to kind of also have our own language, and she was so brilliant, is so brilliant, but working on the ice, like it was a speed, like unbelievable what she can come up with and how creative she was. And every once in a while I have to stop myself and be like, okay, it's not fair for you to think that this 18-year-old woman should be able to compute like Tessa Virtue. So, but some of my students are really coming along, and if they can be even a fraction of that, that's pretty cool. But yeah, I miss the time. I miss the time together with Tess, and it's just a beautiful part of our life that we look back to. And obviously there are things that we both wanted to do, that we had put on hold, for a long time. And the things that, you know, Tess is doing, I'm super proud of, and, you know, the school and everything. Like we just can't do everything. And we felt like we had accomplished all we wanted to in skating. And we also felt like we had a legion of fans, and we still were pinched that people loved and cared about our work and what we did and what we put on the ice. And in order for us to be fair and true to them, we expected ourselves to be at a very high level. And it would just became with our life starting to become more, I guess, balanced or moving in different directions. It just became impossible for us to keep that up. So it would be cool to be like, I don't know, to skate together when we were 40, but we wouldn't have wanted to have the level drop off. And
you'd be like Torval and Dean.
A lot of work to keep that.
You'd be like Torval and Dean skating near 40. You know that.
Yeah, I think we'll be doing that behind closed doors. Yeah. Like, but the first thing she did, like when she came out to coach last year, she like grabbed my hand and was like, "Let's do a stroking pattern." I was like, "You didn't even want to do a stroking pattern like the week of the Olympics." Like, why all of a sudden?
So there's no comeback then. This is you are retired for good. There's no comeback.
I did a rock or fox shot the other day, Rod, and I was out of breath going around the corner the first. So I don't think I'm ready.
Because one of the things about skating is, as we've seen in so many different partnerships, that you know, you especially in pair skating, there's a musical partnerships, and the beauty is this partnership, this friendship for the U2 that will last always forever. Tess, you're so busy. I mean, bring us up to date. You got so many things on the go. And what is the end game for you? Like, not end game, but what is your ultimate goal beyond skating? What would you like to do?
That's such a good question.
Oh, by the way, are you both doctors? Didn't you become honorary doctors?
Tess is gonna get a real doctor. Not that
but you're honorary doctors, right? So you're actually Dr. Moyer, and you are Dr. Tess. Yes.
End game. You know, I think I always knew graduate studies would be in the cards for me after retiring from sport. Partly because I was keen to just embrace a new challenge, and there's something about that short-ish term goal that I knew that it would kind of help structure my life around if I was working towards something. But I also wanted credibility. I mean, I've working in the corporate realm with Deloitte, and I wanted to get a better understanding of that. The same way I'm doing a master's of applied positive psychology at the moment. And I mean, Scott knows that's been my dream for more than 10 years. So it's a bucket list thing for me to be doing, but it's also so seamlessly integrated into all the work that I do around performance and well-being, and that obsession of not just being my best, but helping to unlock the potential of others has sort of grown. And I'm feeling that, you know, finding my way through that, and it's really fulfilling. And a lot of the lessons we learned in sport are applicable in business. So end game, I'm not sure, but I think what I feel anyways right now is that I'm equipping myself with the knowledge and the tools that I need or will need to take on the next chapter. And I think the end of this program, this next semester in particular, will be a bit of a roadmap for me, and I'm excited to really take that on.
Wow. What, are you a bigger Leaf fan now than Scott even?
She always was equally as big.
Scotty, you're diehard, man.
Yeah. We both grew up in actually, no, you Charlie was a Habs fan, right? So I was going to say I grew up in a household of blue and white.
Yeah, but everyone has everyone has brothers that just like the other team just to be a jackass. Like that's Charlie. He just loves the Habs just to be a jerk.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, you are a huge Leafs fan.
Well, everybody's cheering both of you on always. Before we go, sorry, and I've been kept you way too long, but it's like I miss you guys. I really miss you guys.
That's the only way we got to do something together here.
Yeah, we should. I was going to say, you know, I still have a dream that I'd like to do a Virtue and Moyer Christmas special. I really think that would be fantastic down the road. But we're not going to do it on a Zoom. Okay. It's not going to happen.
But is there skating involved?
Oh, yeah.
We need to get in shape.
I was going to say, it's not going to be a couple of years.
Yeah, well, no, maybe that's what will reinvigorate the sport. But here, I have a few quickies for you. Okay. I call it the quick 18, but I don't know if we're getting 18 in. You can come up with one answer, two answers, whatever. But you guys go back and forth. Okay. Is this cool?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go. Let's go with Jesse Virtue and Scott Moyer. The best ice rink you've ever skated in?
Ilgin Arena.
Oh, thought you were going to say best ice, and that would be Edmonton. Best ice rink, maybe the one in Courchevel, France.
Oh, nice. Your favorite performance of all time?
Pyeongchang, Moulin Rouge.
Same.
Of ours, because now I'm realizing I'm feeling really good about myself.
Most embarrassing on ice moment.
Oh boy.
Were you just thinking of mine?
I don't know. I've had a couple.
I had a couple of wardrobe malfunctions.
We've seen that. I broadcast one, and God love her, Shailen Bourne.
Yeah.
Basically was had a wardrobe malfunction, had a Janet Jackson during the entire performance in Nagano at a world championship. Felt so bad for her.
I know.
Fortunately, I don't think it ever got out. But I went, oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes my toe pick embarrassing moment feel. But, you know, like I get to embarrass myself weekly when I get on my like 10 or 11 breakaways and usually shoot the puck into the corner with how terrible my hands are. So
we got to play some beer league hockey. Tessa, did you ever play any hockey? Have you played any?
Oh, she'd be so good though.
You would be so good.
I'm worried about my hand eye coordination.
Well, you got a good coach by the way at home. Okay. Coolest thing that you ever did in skating. Coolest thing that you ever did in skating.
I loved our tour. Thank you, Canada tour, being able to be on the, to be able to go across the country and go into these little cities and thank our fans that supported us. You know, it makes up a lot of Canada, but I never got over being able to look around, you know, being on the ice with Chitty and Elvis and being able to skate with these fantastic Canadian skaters, Joni Rochette. I never got over that.
Mm, good answer. Yeah. Skating led us to so many crazy and cool things and experiences and introduced us to people that I never would have ever imagined. But I like that answer, Scott. Yeah, that's a really good one. Being able to actually produce our own tour that we felt we had control of and that was our vision was so special, and what a way to go out too as we, you know, really left the sport for good.
Heroine, who was the person that you looked up to or people you looked up to growing up, Tess?
Kimberly Glasgow, a ballerina. And I was just talking about him, so it's fresh in my mind, but Chris Hadfield was a huge hero of ours, and I mean, of everyone's, but we modeled a lot of our training after his methodology and what he wrote in his book and shared. And mind you, the stakes were a little bit higher for him. We were just twizzling, but finally, when we got to meet him, it was like the biggest fangirl moment I've ever had. Maybe the only real fangirl moment I've ever had.
He's the Rocket Man.
Oh,
he's the Rocket Man.
The coolest.
Hey?
Yeah, and he had one of the top two mustaches in all mustaches.
I actually gave that mustache to him.
Did you?
I don't know if you know that. It was true. I don't know if he's ever admitted that. He will never admit that. Yeah. But I got rid of it. I gave it. It showed up on his face one day. And actually, one of Elvis Stoiko's eyebrows, that was when I grew another mustache. That's one of his eyebrows. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Oh, man. I still get the Stoiko question, which I love. I actually miss Elvis. He's a cool dude.
Is that the Everett Lindros question, whether they had a scrap?
Yeah. And he lied to me his whole life. Never admitted to it. At one time I got him close to admitting it, but
no, I was there. Never happened. Close though, I think.
But Elvis bucket list beat the crap out of me, but do you remember Eric's hands?
Oh, I know. I don't even care
how much of a glass. No. Like, I know his noggin got beat around a little bit, but that dude's hands, like
Eric Lindros is his own pairs team. I mean, I'm telling you, he's a big man.
Maybe it's Eric and I. Why don't we start
that rumor right here? So, Scotty, when you were in that bar up in Muskoka and you had that scrap with Lindros and you knocked him out. He's a great dude. I love Eric, by the way. Great heart. Yeah. Just like Elvis. Okay. Tess, you did say the bucket list thing that you want to do, but is there a bucket list thing that you guys would like to do down the road? Because skating has consumed you for your entire life. Are there some things that you'd like to do, Scotty?
Oh, man. Yeah, a ton. I don't know why I'm thinking a safari right now, but you really put me on the spot. But yeah, I just feel like I'm just starting to get into traveling for pleasure. You know, I always saw, even when we traveled to work, it was for work. So I just feel like there's a lot of the world to be seen still for me. And that's what I'm really into right now. So that's kind of my bucket list thing. If you're asking professionally, I apologize. I didn't really answer that very well, but it's quick. So I realized that this was too long.
No, it's okay. That's good. You got all the time you want. Tess?
This is random, but...
Yay!
I like that. Want to do...
I mean, I said safari, so did you really have to...
some kind of ballroom dance thing. I don't know. I want to learn a routine or do one... Not a competition, maybe.
Have you guys ever thought about, like, again, because you may not be able to skate down the road or don't want to skate or what, or because of that work, have you thought about... Like, what is it? So you think you get some of those dance competitions? Has anybody ever asked you?
No, we've never been asked that. It would be fun. It'd be so fun.
How would you guys like? Because we can make that happen right now.
Tess is the one for that. I am a little bit. That doesn't sound so great for me.
Okay. A skating maneuver that you would still like to try, Tess.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if it's trying, but I wish once in my life I could have the feeling of doing a spread eagle. I can't do it, and I probably won't ever. So I'll live vicariously.
Hey, Mo?
Sorry?
I know this is like spread eagle is such a, it sounds really hard.
we'll edit that, right?
Spread eagle is, you know, when you one blade's going one way and the other blade's going the other way. But Mo can do it, right? I think the kids call it the Sid, the Sidney Crosby. Yeah. Can you do the Crosby?
Yeah, you can. By the way, exactly, like Morgan Riley, too. I mean, his skating skills, and I don't want to speak for Morgan, but I mean, you must be amazed. And I'm sure Scotty, too, because Scotty, I do believe, is one of the best male skaters I have ever seen. But Morgan Riley is an incredible skater.
Yes.
He can do the Crosby, right? I'm sure he loves when it's called the Crosby.
Can he do a twizzle? That's my
thing.
That's
a spread eagle in hockey. He can do it, right?
Yeah.
Well, and he can twizzle. I'll say that.
Can he do the Canada Goose?
That's the thing. Victor Kratz was doing skating skill stuff with him, so I did see some twizzles.
Oh, nice.
Oh, and yeah, and Big Daddy Vic, man, he can still go. Like, he was a
hockey player. Oh, I see his TikTok and his Instagram stuff, man.
Yeah.
He's hydroblading kids forever.
Any day, anytime, for the rest of my life, I think that we train that move so much. I think when I'm like 65, we can go out there. I'll try the goose. I think I'd still have it in me.
I want to see the goose. I love the goose. Love the goose.
Yeah. What if I just took it and backflip onto you? How would you react?
I'll hopefully catch you. You know, I will say like
65. I mean, you know,
you have boys that are like, well, you know, like, yeah, everyone's, you know, falls just happen when you're in lifts and it just happened. And I had a pretty good record. I will say we had a couple scary falls, but I never dropped it.
But at 65, if they said, are you going to, or 70, maybe 70, 75, because that could be great. If this, you know, this show takes off, we, you know, at 75, you're still skating and you go, can you still do the goose? And you could go, depends.
All right.
We're going to go rolling along here. If you guys play Trivial Pursuit, who wins?
Scott.
Me.
Monopoly.
Scott.
Tessa.
Chess.
Scott.
Me, yeah.
Grand Theft Auto.
Me.
Scott. Are you your videoer?
You picked the three things. Wow, which way is the camera? You picked the three things that I would have beat Tess at. That's about all we got. Grand Theft pinball? Auto, chess, and what was the third?
Trivial Pursuit. Oh, yeah.
That's actually, it would depend on the category because she knows the most random things.
Well, speaking of video games, if there was a video game for skating, I always thought there should have been. I don't know if there ever was. There should have been. Who would you pick that you would want to be in a video game of the skaters? It could be the skaters of the pantheon of skating. Tess.
So I'm choosing.
You can't be yourself, but you can be anybody you want. Like you make that
Stefan Lambiel character.
Stefan Lambiel.
Tessa Virtue. Easy. Even sometimes when I'm doing some choreography and I get to do the girl things, I realize how much fun they are, like the woman steps.
If they were making a movie, and they will make a movie about you two, they will. I know that. Who plays Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer? Scott.
Well, that's a good question. Like you got a lot of movie stars that look like you. Notice how I said that? They look like you. For me, like, it clearly have to be Clooney or Pitt, right? Like, let's be honest. Maybe one of those other good-looking ones.
Yeah.
Like
Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah, like when he's jacked. Like
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. Yeah, we're sliding off here. We're all bringing it back.
Yeah. Tess?
Who's the one that I always just get mad that people said you look like? The woman from
Twilight?
Yes.
No. I think I'm just because I'm pale and I'm darker.
I didn't like that. Well, I didn't think that there was anything. You had some Nicole Kidman years and Julia Roberts yes. a little bit. Well, not Julia Roberts so much.
Did it kind of freak you guys out though? I remember after skating after Virtue Moyer, that a lot of young skaters, developed your style or your look. Like I couldn't believe how many young female skaters I saw. Oh my gosh, they're Tessa Virtue clones. That's a Scott Moyer clone out there. It had to be an honor, actually. What a tribute.
Yeah, it was really nice. I mean, I think I found it funnier, Scott. Like, I remember seeing it when we retired that a couple teams before they took the ice, they would hug also the way that we used to do that. And it's more that I just wanted to say, like, oh, but do you know the purpose? Like, are you just doing it? Or,
yeah.
I wanted to give them some tips. But no, it's always lovely. And I think that is so flattering. And we would have done the same. We would have mimicked. I mean, we always tried to carve out our own style and our own niche, but you sometimes even unintentionally mimic the people that you've grown up watching.
What about favorite movie of all time, Scott?
You get to ask you questions ever. Like, I feel like
you can ask me any question you want, but wait, I got two more for you. Best movie of all time.
Shawshank or Seven. I really got into that.
Shawshank. What a great one. Tess.
Best movie of all time.
Oh, come on.
I know. Well, Princess Bride.
Yeah, I was going to say, great. What took so long?
Great, great movie.
Did you see, Tessa, there was a really good HBO Andre the Giant documentary I thought you would like.
No, I'll have to look at that.
Do you guys know that I got to know him really well?
Really?
I grew up as a big wrestling fan, but in Winnipeg, and that's where he started in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Andre Rusimov. And I got to meet him a couple of times. The biggest man. The stories of Andre the Giant. How much beer and Scotty, how much alcohol this guy could consume. But he was like that guy on Princess Bride. He was a friendly giant, except for one time. He kind of disappointed me, but that's okay. He was in a cab and I saw him in Montreal and he was just unfolding himself, trying to unfold. And I said, Andre, and how are you? I said, listen, my younger brother's a huge fan. Can I get an autograph? He goes, no time. And I now Now, of course, I can run a lot faster than him. I go, well, thanks a lot, Andre. Really appreciate it. Thanks a lot. See ya. Really nice of ya. Because I've been a kind of smarmy little guy. And I took off. Don't I have to interview him the following week?
No.
And he was the nicest guy. I just wanted to let you guys know that. Okay. Best binge show that you've watched. Tess.
Well, during a quarantine period, I did eventually do Game of Thrones. And
really?
Yeah, it was really, really good.
Yeah, I haven't watched it.
Oh, wait. Also The Newsroom.
Really?
I'm still on that. You?
Blackie, you're asking, right?
Oh,
no. Scotty.
Oh, I'm loving Ted Lasso, I gotta say.
Oh, I love it, man.
Love
Have
it.
You watched this?
No, I haven't.
Oh, like, it's fantastic. Has Morgan watched it?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, there you go.
I believe. I tell you, it's funny. It's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
And the acting is spectacular. The casting is spectacular.
Okay.
And it's a great message for, yeah.
Yeah, it is. I can't wait for the next season. And Succession. I don't know if you guys have watched Succession.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, spectacular. Because you guys have gone into the media world. You'll see what truly the media world is all about.
Yeah,
okay. I got two more questions for you. Scott and Tessa, what is one question you've always wanted to ask the other? And it could have been during skating or even now.
Oh, Tessa. No, we asked them all.
I think you probably have. Yeah. Huh?
Scott had an unlimited number of car rides with me where I peppered him with all of
Oh, my God. What's your favorite sound?
You guys basically know everything about each other.
Studio or whatever, that game you used to play. I tried to terrify her by driving like a maniac, and she still asked all these questions.
Oh, I will think of one. I'm just not sure that I can do it on the spot, but there is something for sure.
Probably something about what they're going to do down the road. I would have a ton of questions for both of you too, because you're both engaging on such amazing journeys right now. Like, as great as that sports stuff you did, the journey you're on now, fatherhood, Scotty, is incredible. There's nothing better than that. Getting married, Tess, and a new journey. Those are like, that's the next chapter. That's where, when you guys have dinner someday down the road.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about that.
You know,
I can't wait. But the wedding, I think you'll really, really enjoy it. And the fact that it's with Mo, who's a beaut. I don't know. I wish we had an answer. I hate when you get asked these rapid fire questions and you don't have something. Hard. You know, like, I just can't think of that's such a cop out. I have nothing.
Okay. Last one. And you can finish the sentence. I, Scott Moyer, or I, Tessa Virtue. Tess, why don't you start? I owe all my success to
Scott.
Yeah, you do. No, I'm just kidding. Of course. Yeah, we owe a lot of it to each other. Don't you?
You have to say me. I didn't mean to tee you up for that, but I genuinely feel that.
Well, kind of. You put me on the spot. I was gonna say Rod.
Carol Moyer. Both of us to Carol.
Yeah, here's to Carol.
Yeah, actually, think about it, Aunt Carol. Look what she did. That goes to show you that sparks, you know, fires can be ignited from just the littlest thing. Just somebody getting an opportunity to meet somebody. And look, you guys changed, you changed skating. What is that like, though? I remember I said it. I think I was one of the first to say it. And I got, people are going, no. And then they were, I said, they're the greatest ice dance team ever. I never danced. You know, I play hockey. And then Tracy Wilson also. No, they're the greatest. They're the greatest ever. That has to be so cool to hear that.
Well, to hear from two people that we respect so much, that's pretty cool still. And that's the hard thing, right? We don't get to really watch ourselves. We've only seen tape.
And Scott's nurturing some young team now that will beat all of our records and take that title, and that will be so cool.
Yeah, one thing for sure, you are the greatest. You're the greatest people, the greatest skaters, greatest athletes. Thank you so much. I took way too much of your time. But I feel like I'm just catching up with you guys. So we'll have to do a dinner or we'll get together to plan that ice show. Get ready for that Virtue and Moyer ballroom dancing competition that we're going to start. Or maybe we'll just go to a Leaf game.
So it could just, yeah, the last option sounds really good. And we could be on a show called So You Think You Could Dance. It's pretty much the
same. Well, listen, guys, thanks for your time. I say thank you for me, but I say thank you to all the skating fans around the world. I know they miss watching you, but they do have YouTube and they have all those great memories. And Scotty, you said the word. I think I used the word back in 2010. You both, you're magic. Thank you so much.
Just before we go, Rod, Tessa and I always wanted to do our own podcast. All right. And maybe we can get you on the hook. Are we allowed to ask at the end? Like, you know, we've just done yours. So I think this is the perfect.
Yes, please.
This is what you call a position of power. Am I right, Tessa? If we're in, we're negotiating.
Oh, I want to be. If I don't get asked, I will be.
I just feel like you were such a good reporter, but I wanted to ask you so many things.
Yeah,
so
I'm just a very boring person.
Everything I wanted to.
You're very curious. That's what I loved about when you guys were in the booth with me. I mean, I love that. I mean, the fact that you said that earlier, Tess, about coming in, but you know, we had a lot of skaters and I've worked with a lot of athletes. I think I set a record for most analysts ever as a broadcaster because I did so many sports. You two were different is because you came in and you just didn't come in and talk because you thought you guys worked at it. I remember how hard you worked and you took that same work ethic off the ice and you applied it to the booth. That's what made you sensational doing that. You could do that today, tomorrow, forever.
That is something we do want to do. We do want to do more work like that together. And how cool would it be to get insight from the best ever?
Yeah. So much. Well, you should start with your own podcast. Although I say that podcasts and podcasts are kind of like buttholes. Everybody's got one.
I didn't expect
but
it.
There's only so many good ones, right?
Yes.
And you guys make this one a great one.
I like
you're the so podcast. Awesome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us. It was so great to chat with two of my favorite humans.
Yeah. Love you guys. Look at you, Scotty. Look at you. Order room service. Order some room service.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My room service will be here soon.
Put it on Tessa's bill. I'll see you guys soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, there they are and there they go. Love the two of them. They have done so much for so many years, and they're just great people. I still want to call them kids, even though they're older kids. I saw them when they were 7 and 9 years old. I remember sitting and talking with Debbie Wilkes at a national championship. I said, well, we got to put them on the air. Look, they're just so lovable. And I do remember saying, hey, someday they could be future champions. Well, they were 8-time national champions. They became Olympic champions. They became world champions. And they are now members of the Order of Canada. They've had every title bestowed on them, and they're still so humble. They've never forgotten where they come from. Home is where the heart is, and their home is in Canada, although their gift has been to the world. Thank you, Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer, for being the skaters that you have been and being the great people that you are. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you tune in to all of our previous broadcasts and some of the other names and other great stories. They're a lot of fun, like this one's been. So thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time, the next edition of The Rodcast.
The Rodcast with Rod Black, brought to you by North Star Bets. That's a win.